This is part 8 of my Lives of Great Purpose series. For a bit of review, in the beginning of this series, we explored how, as believers in Jesus Christ, there is nothing common or insignificant about our lives. We were loved from before the beginning of time. We were born of just the right parents, in just the right place, at just the right time, all to serve God's great purposes for our lives. And we talked about how Jesus himself said, "I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me." And that kingdom is expressed on earth as church. And in parts 2 and 3, we explored how we are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Then in part 4, we saw that it is common for people called by God to do great things. It's common for them to perceive their weaknesses and insignificance, and rather that God just sends someone else to do it. But the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. In part 5, we explored a major part of how we fulfill God's purpose for us in our generation is by dispensing grace. I made the case that grace heals, grace enlivens, grace strengthens, grace even destroys the devil's work in human beings, and we've been given full authority as children of God and as disciples of Jesus to dispense that grace to others. As Jesus tells us, "Freely you have received, freely give." And the 3 ways grace is dispensed by us are through the God-given gifts we exercise, the words we say, and the prayers we pray. In part 5, I discussed how we dispense grace by exercising our God-given gifts to serve others. In part 6, we explored how we can dispense grace through the words we say. Amazing as it is, grace can actually be imparted through our words, and that our model is always Jesus. In Acts 10:38, it says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. He was dispensing grace, and much of that grace he dispensed was through his words. Last week, we explored how we can dispense grace through our prayers for others, just as Jesus did. We looked at the account of when Jesus healed the man with leprosy. It says, "Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man," and that the compassion of Jesus can flow through our prayers. And we talked about how some prayers need to be prayed over and over until the need is fully satisfied. And we talked about the verse from the book of James in chapter 5 that says, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." The prayer of the righteous, not the prayer of the perfect. The righteous versus the unrighteous. The believer versus the unbeliever. And James uses the example of Elijah. James says that Elijah was a human being, even as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I want to continue on that theme today, of how we can dispense grace through prayer. So let's go to that Old Testament account of Elijah that James talks about. 1 Kings chapter 18. The people of Israel had turned their backs on the living God and had turned to idols. And God, being a jealous God, desired to get their attention and woo them back. And he used the prophet Elijah to make his case. So at God's direction, Elijah declared that there would be no rain on the land, and there wasn't rain for 3.5 years. But after that 3.5 years, there was a degree of repentance that took place by the people, and meager and temporary as that repentance was, the Lord had mercy and chose to send rain. So in verse 41, it says that Elijah said to Ahab, who was king of Israel at that time, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain." And he said this before there was any cloud in the sky. Then it says, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. Well, that's interesting. Elijah is earnestly praying, and nothing is happening. But it says, seven times Elijah said, go back. I find it fascinating that James uses the example of Elijah as an effective prayer, and yet it seems, at least to begin with, that his prayers are not effective at all. Nothing is happening. There's nothing, Elijah. You are praying, but it doesn't look like God is paying any attention. There's no rain, not even clouds. In fact, it's blue skies all around as far as you can see. Elijah earnestly prays and sends the servant once. The servant comes back, nothing. So Elijah prays again, then sends the servant back to look again, still nothing. So Elijah prays a third time and sends the servant back, still nothing but blue skies. So Elijah prays a fourth time and sends him back again, still nothing. We don't know what the servant is thinking. It doesn't say. But he might be losing confidence in the prayers of Elijah. But he dutifully goes to check each time. And Elijah prays again and sends him again the fifth time, then the sixth time. You get the idea. Some effective prayer. Nothing to show for it. Ah, but wait. Verse 44. He sends him the seventh time. And how many of us would give up before the seventh time? Before the seventh prayer and the seventh time of looking for the answer. It says, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. It took seven times of prayer without any answer, and the seventh time the answer is so small that you might need binoculars to see it. It's as small as a man's hand. But that was all Elijah needed to hear to know God had heard his prayer. Then it says, so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It was as small as a man's hand. But oh, it didn't stay small as a man's hand. It says, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling. So what can we take away from this? Well, we can deduce from this that prayer can be so effective as to be an example of effective prayer, and yet at the same time appear to be completely ineffective, at least at the time that prayer is prayed. So those prayers we prayed, and it looked so much like nothing happened, that no one was listening, well, they were powerful and effective, just not necessarily immediately so. Sometimes years go by before we see the fruit of just how effective our prayers were. And do you want to know the secret of receiving lots of answers to prayers? Pray lots of prayers. It's just bonehead math. The more prayers we pray, the more we get to see them answered. It's true that some prayers are never answered because they were completely contrary to the will and ways of God. Another thing James tells us about prayer, he says in James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The King James Version says, you ask amiss. Prayers for selfish pleasures are not powerful and effective, and we should not expect God to answer them. I remember hearing an example of a prayer that was amiss many years ago. There was a woman who was in front of her house one day, and her neighbor across the street had the garage door open. And she could see this beautiful piece of furniture in that garage, and she thought that piece of furniture would be perfect in her house. And the neighbors just had it sitting in the garage. So she prayed about it, and she prayed about it, and she eventually became confident that the Lord wanted her to have it. So she boldly went to the neighbor and offered to buy it from her. Unfortunately, the Lord apparently hadn't told the neighbor about this arrangement, hadn't put the idea in the neighbor's mind that she should part with this piece of furniture for the sake of the woman who was coveting it. And there was embarrassment and hurt feelings, all because this first woman asked amiss. Not to mention that she was violating the 10th commandment to not covet what belongs to your neighbor. And that's another thing to remember about prayer. We shouldn't be praying for things contrary to the scriptures. Lord, please kill my neighbor that I hate. That's not going to be an effective prayer. Prayers for selfish or illegitimate pleasures are not powerful and effective. But we're talking about legitimate prayers for the true needs of people, not selfish pleasures. But why do some prayers get answered right away and others take years? Well, that relates to the sovereignty of God and the wisdom of His timing of things. There are things God has in mind to do with this or that situation before He wants to answer that prayer. But in other things, God wants to do them right now. He's just waiting for someone to pray that prayer. Because He's not going to act until someone does. That's the kind of partnership He has with us as those He's conferred His kingdom on. He's looking for someone to pray that prayer. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. The Israelites had incurred God's wrath by their idolatry at a particular time in history. And God says, I looked for someone among them who would stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. He looked for someone to stand between him and the land, to intercede for the land, which means to intercede for the people of the land. God looked for someone to earnestly pray that He would have mercy on the people. He looked for a partner to pray for the people that God would turn away His wrath from them and restore them. But there was no one. No one to stand between to advocate for the people. He desired to show mercy, but there was no one to intercede for that mercy. I find that fascinating. And that is written as an example to us, to inspire us to be that advocate. God was ready to show mercy, but there was no one to pray that prayer for it. So, it didn't happen. And God is pleased to dispense mercy and grace when appropriate and when earnestly asked for. And back to Elijah. Elijah earnestly prayed, and grace was dispensed to the land of Israel. Grace in the form of rain, the lifeblood of an arid land. And James says, He's just like us. So likewise, we pray, and that grace God desires to dispense is sent on the way, sometimes slowly, sometimes speedily, sometimes immediately, because He's just waiting for someone to pray that prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged.
courage. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there.